Hey guys, welcome back to Level Recap. It's been a while. We're here to boost your gaming knowledge to the next level with the past two months, I guess, biggest gaming news. With our new adventurer added to our long journey.
Hello, it's me.
And with us as always,
me, Lisa.
And Sasha. Bernice is on a side quest momentarily. She'll be with us next month for sure.
Doing what? Sorry.
I wanted to make a story on how... Because you come in with one of us always missing. So, like, yeah. Lisa's actually not Lisa. She's a clone that you've made after you've taken her.
Well, oh no, I was cloned.
So we wanted to play around with it, or I wanted to, because that's me. Anyway, leave us some feedback and get some gaming news on the spot. I lie to you, because it's not on the spot. It's usually never on the spot. But at our
it's
Facebook.
It's on a spot.
It's there eventually. Facebook.com/levelrecap. And we're going to go ahead and start with our main topics, gaming news, all that jazz that happened in the last 2 months. I kind of narrowed it down because a lot of things actually happened. But in the beginning of December, first weekend, which would have been PSX, would have been...
Yeah.
The Game Awards happened, as it has for the last two years. As the Game Awards.
I don't know. It's always happened, and I, like, never pay attention. And I feel bad because I love games, mm-hmm. but I'm like, I just don't care about an award show for it.
It's much more refined than it has been before. Because mm-hmm. the originals were a Spike TV thing.
Yeah.
And it was very, like, boys club, kind of, this is gaming, loud noises and stuff. Yeah. And I don't mean that in any bad way. It's more like it was just kind of like a crazy show and dance. It's kind of like, what was that show on Spike TV? Because remember, Spike TV was meant for men. That was how it was advertising itself.
Yeah.
So that's how it felt. Like, it was kind of just like a club and everybody was just talking about what they liked. I believe Jeff Keighley broke it off. He apparently started it, but he broke it off to his own for the Game Awards. He wanted to make something more legit, like Oscars and
Like the Oscars, Emmys, Grammys, mm-hmm. everyone's sort of got an awards show, and it'd be really cool for video games to have them, and we do!
Yeah, and it's actually getting more refined. Last year was kind of all over the place. I always wanted to go, but since it was always during PSX, or just before it, actually, I didn't want to go to Los Angeles, and then wherever PSX at the time, which was Anaheim, mm-hmm. so the back and forth mm-hmm. would have been crazy. But this year, I had a chance to go, partly because it was canceled. Yeah. And because I had a trailer that was going to get revealed there that I had a chance of working on game capture-wise. And I was super excited to see everyone's reaction to it because I was ecstatic. But it's very unique in the award show sense because it's not only an award show, but it's like some award show has like a sing and dance, like they have a song and dance where they have a show or people playing and stuff, but they don't really have trailers playing, right? E3 wise.
Yeah, well, it's to keep the audience entertained, which is kind of interesting with games because you can, that's sort of how you build the hype, is you play like a trailer or something instead of like, it'd be weird if they're like, all right, and we're going to play a part of the game now.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't translate quite the same way. It's interesting them you're putting trailers in this though mm-hmm. because
game
we've
reveals
got like
and stuff.
E3, we've got, you know, whatever.
It felt like a conference mixed with an award show.
Yeah,
if it makes sense.
Yeah, so it's almost like they should hold it at the same time of E3 or something.
Maybe. I mean, it probably playing with the whole end of year thing where everyone wants to celebrate the whole time, which still kind of sucks because there's always a game that's right at the cusp of when it came out mm-hmm. kind of idea, so it's hard to reward it. Like, I think Smash Brothers came out the same day. That night of the show.
Makes sense.
And people were like, oh, I can't win anything now. It's like next year. I mean, it's still part of the next year roster. But
that's their fault.
Well, I mean, there always has to be a cutoff, too.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting if they had the cutoff in, like, January or, you know, end of, you know, December 31st, 2018 sort of thing.
Yeah,
maybe
true.
Push it to January, and then they can push the ceremony back until June or something like that for E3.
Because they do have like they do have a merriment of voting for this, so it's not just like a popularity contest.
Yeah.
Which they said they were always worried about with previous times they've done it. Hmm. And so it's a you have like a board of people who are you have developers, you have like legit reviewers, like people they put in high regard, not just like random journalists.
Mm-hmm.
They do take into consideration the voting from like the public. Mm-hmm. But it's a round, it's like a series of different things that they vote on, from visuals to gameplay to how it felt full as a game or something like that. And I obviously the two big, there was actually quite a few big games that came out last year, but of the huge titles that were running for Game of the Year, it was God of War, Spider-Man, and
was Red Dead?
Red Dead Redemption, okay. 2. And Red Dead Redemption 2 is fairly new in that three of those three games.
So it's literally the freshest.
Right. It's the freshest. Yeah. People were the hardest on it. And it does, I do agree, it deserved a lot of the awards it got. But I was worried God of War was going to become another Horizon Zero Dawn that won nothing the previous year.
Could have been.
And it got some stuff. And they were very humble about it. Corey Borlaug and his team and everything about when they won it. It was very humble. I guess it felt nice. It felt like I'm watching the world of developers and gamers kind of meet, but in a very, not eloquent, but, you know, nice. It's not just like a show and dance, like people rubbing elbows and stuff. It's kind of like they're actually all just there coexisting and enjoying the product that everybody's put out. And there was a series of trailers, like there was a lot of cop-outs for example, Mortal Kombat. They made it seem like it took over the stage. The trailer I got the pleasure of working on was Crash Team Racing, which I grew up with that game, so I was like stupid ecstatic just to try it, and therefore also see everyone's reactions to it. I thought it was going to be more subtle, but then I realized it's Crash Bandicoot, and when they had Crash Bandicoot come on stage, I was like, of course. Like, well, not stage, it's like the side stage where Jeff Keighley is, but they had a lot of really kind of awkward gimmicks here and there. Like, they had a ninja talking to, I forget his name, but from the Muppets, the shrimp.
Oh, is it Pepe?
Pepe,
I think it's Pepe,
And that was weird. Like, I get it why it's there, but there was, like, some people ahead of us who were, like, railing at a new one. Like, it was just the stupidest thing in the world kind of thing.
I mean, but if you think about it, like, the Oscars usually tries to do something with, like, animated characters. They have a comedian
thrown in.
Well, not just that, but they'll, you know, like, they'll have, like, Shrek come on stage and, you know, give an award out or something.
Well, the audience is wide. It's not just like adults. We're talking about also games that are there for kids. Like Fortnite won a bunch of things because of how popular it is. And they also went into esports. They also awarded like up and coming, from indie to like full-on games. So they went all over the spectrum. But I don't know, I really enjoyed it. It felt like a nice night out kind of thing that was still somehow related to games. It wasn't just like a fancy dinner kind of feeling.
That's cool.
But
sounds nice.
It was nice. I didn't know how to dress for it. That's the weird part, because like you think Oscars and that's like full on dress and gown and stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's not gonna be that.
It's not that formal. But it is definitely, don't go in like jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah. Like I did like a casual formal.
Okay. And,
I mean, styles ranged, and it was fucking cold that night too.
So you went from like to a game awards show as a filthy casual.
Almost. I wore heels too, and I hated myself. But they had like little photo ops outside too before the show started and everything. What sucked is they had like concession stands where you can buy, but then you can't bring the food in. So everyone's like in line waiting to bring it in with them after they're done, but you can't bring food inside. Their tickets look really sweet too. I have them somewhere in this room, but they're all like holographic and stuff. They made it seem really official. Yeah. It was really fun. It was like $20 per ticket because I got it an early bird, and also PlayStation was giving it out. Yeah.
Oh, that's not bad.
I was like, fuck yeah.
That's not bad at all.
And the worst you have to worry about is parking in LA, but
Yeah.
They revealed a shit ton of trailers. It was almost overwhelming because you're trying to take in this new stuff and then trying to celebrate the stuff that's already out. A lot of people were also expecting things like The Last of Us being revealed there because they did that the previous year. Not revealing it, sorry, but a like new trailer.
Yeah.
But they already said they're only going to be working on the game from now on. And then with the cancellation of PSX, which usually ends up showing all these sorts of trailers right after it, it's like, it feels like there's a weird void in between it, and they just stockpiled this show with it. And I know, I was excited. We were away from the camera, but if it ever panned to me, I was smiles all the time. And there was, of course, like super cynical gamer cliche people behind us criticizing every little thing that came on screen. And then people who came up, I was super proud of everyone that went up there because it's nerve-wracking being up in front of people to begin with. But right. I forgot his name. Oh, Sonic Fox. It just came to me. Sonic Fox, who won the Esports Gamer of the Year, mm-hmm. I think it was. I might have butchered that title. But
it's okay.
It was so humble in the way that you can tell this is just a person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a celebrity like we're used to an award system. And he came up, he was in a furry outfit. And that's already like, wow. Like, he's already pushing a lot of like, what is outside of what people are comfortable with norm-wise.
Yeah.
And he originally came up without his mask. Then he put on his mask as he was coming up. And he has giggles and smiles and, like, kind of... You could tell he was just didn't know how to feel at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he came up, he did a speech, and then he was all like... apparently, a lot of people vouch for him as being a really good player. It's not just, like, a song and dance. He's like, I never did this for the fame. It was really just something I enjoyed kind of stuff. Yeah. And, he was choking up, so it was kind of like, it was adorable, like, but a lot of people were like, oh, I'm making fun of him. I was like, you do it, fucker, shit. But
yeah,
put him back in their place.
But he totally went up, and he eventually took off his mask because it was getting like overwhelming. But you can tell his suit was also his armor, so to speak.
Yeah, it was, and as he felt more comfortable,
he took it off. He thanked everybody he can, and I forgot how it came out, but he's like, I'm also like, he's like, oh, I'm gay, and I'm also black, and I'm furry. I guess I'm a Republican's worst nightmare. his quote. And I was like, damn. And of course, chat is going like, oh, they had to bring politics into this. Yes, politics is life, guys. Politics is your life. It's how you live. But it was adorable. I mean, I thought it was the bravest thing someone could do, and I love seeing underdog stories.
Mm-hmm.
And he was super happy about it. Ninja also won an award for being a very famous streamer.
Ninja.
I never watched him.
For being Ninja.
Yeah, for being Ninja, basically. And there was so many things. It really clashed the cultures of what, I guess you could say, 2018 kind of highlighted. Because it was not just games, and it was not just fans and developers, but they highlighted the esports and like the how we're trying to make esports a sport in a way.
Yeah.
On how it's celebrated, like, especially Overwatch. They won an award for their esports initiative as far as how they did it.
Well, because they're trying to...
They're the forerunners
make it
right
legit.
Now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was League of Legends was, like, the golden boy right now, but... I mean, they're still really big, but it's still very niche, whereas Overwatch is wider of an audience.
I think it's got a wider audience, and I think they are standardizing it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in this league, here's how much money you get.
Yeah, they're making
here's
it, like, a sports system.
Set up. Like... There's legitimacy to this. Mm-hmm. This isn't like, I'm an esports gamer and I win some money sometimes. It's like, no, we're investing in you like we would with a baseball player, a football player.
You're an athlete
player.
In their mind, and you're going to be sponsored, and man, the stress those kids go through. I know I've talked about it before because I used to work the Blizzard Arena,
mm-hmm.
and seeing that, it's like, I can't fathom. Because I can get frustrated with video games, but I can back away. This is their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they like, have to do this well.
This is our outlet. And they're like, that's not the case for me.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, do
that
what you're good at.
Tough,
but yeah.
Though, to like, do you play like a different sort of game if you want to play as an outlet or what?
I don't know. I've seen people just play the exact same game, but more casually. But then you're also criticized for playing a little less hardcore than you're supposed to, but... I mean, a lot of big names came out last year for it, too, both great and bad people, I guess you could say. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's been an interesting year as far as gaming, and then gaming as an entertainment outside of the normal audience, if that makes sense. Because now people who don't normally watch games are watching games.
Yeah. Well, it's all hitting wider audiences,
mm-hmm.
especially with streaming, because...
Mm-hmm.
I hear from a lot of parents are like, oh yeah, my kid watches someone play games.
There's people taking classes to learn how to play with their friend or their kids, like Fortnite classes and stuff.
Well, there's even like, because they're like unboxing videos, and I know that's a separate thing, but it's like it's grown from like just that to like my kid watches someone play Minecraft. I don't get it, but they like it, and it's what it is.
But I mean, I could sit here and list everything that happened during the award show, but it's much easier just to find a list.
Mm-hmm.
Online, but also by this point most people heard about it. It's been about a month. Also, if you follow the Game Awards Twitter like I was,
mm-hmm.
they will remind you of the Game Awards every day.
Well, yeah.
They're like, this time this year, this is this happened. It's like, hey, look whose birthday it was. Remember what they did this year? And like, it's like that every time. I need to turn off the notifications.
Oh, so it's so cute. But they I mean, that's really what they have to do. Yeah. But that's part of marketing. Uh-huh. That's part of making this a thing.
They're like, remember when Corey Boyle did this or something? It's like, or the skit they did with the God of War voice actor and the boy voice actor. And I was like, it's super gimmicky, but I love it. It feels like it's just entertaining. Like the same reason I like E3. It's just a big song and dance. Everyone's trying to make you happy and you're surrounded by video games. So, but I'm good. I'm going to stop talking now about this.
It sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll move on.
All right.
Okay. Well, in esports news, there is some news about Blizzard announcing that they're killing Heroes of the Storm esports, which kind of, you know, it sucks mainly because the way they went about it, people are super angry about it.
Yeah, it's abrupt.
Well, it was.
Yeah, it just happened all of a sudden, and I guess it happened over social media. So, like, people that have been working hard months and months and months, putting all this time and effort into it, because a lot goes into esports, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people might think it was a joke, but it is hard, I'm sure. And, a lot of people were pissed. Like, I just spent all this time doing all this, and I got nothing to show for it now. Basically, I'm out of a job, and I wasted all my time, and it's just like, wish you guys went about it a different way.
Which we kind of talked about with, the Game Awards. Like, we just finished revering Blizzard for doing such a great thing with esports, and Heroes of Storm is the second big one.
Yeah.
And, well, Heroes of Storm and Hearthstone, I think, is their huge, or the other two other than Overwatch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they kind of killed it overnight, and
I believe they killed the game too. Yeah, Heroes of Storm is just like new content.
Yeah, they actually have. Well, they're gonna keep updating it, but they're having a lot of the developers go on to other projects that they have going on. So, that's why they're getting rid of the esports, just because it's not gonna be as a big deal anymore.
Yeah, it's man,
it's been out for a while now. So I mean,
and it's also
get it, but I wish they went about it a different way.
Yeah.
At least, you know, like, all right, we're phasing it out more, in a year,
Know? Yeah.
6 months.
Especially the people that are trained for it, you know?
Yeah.
Now the people who train for it are probably stuck to, like, conventions now, which is kind of like how the old school esports was. But, like, where you kind of set up for an event itself and then do that event. Or otherwise, what we're trying to build now, as far as esports goes, is a continual, like, paycheck, so to speak, if you want to see it that way. But yeah, it's because Heroes of Storm is very much like how League of Legends is played, mixed in with like a weird RTS. It's a hybrid, like most things. But I guess it's a MOBA is what I'm trying to say. It's a MOBA mixed with like a little more RTS, which Blizzard has history on.
Yeah.
But I played a little bit of it. I was like, oh, that's interesting. It's cool playing your characters. They even came out with a trailer during BlizzCon for a new character or a new move or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I think it was Hanzo, because I remember it was the Tale of Two Dragons or something like that.
Well, yeah, they do mix them, because, like, Overwatch characters appeared in Heroes of the Storm, and then, because I think Officer Diva skin first showed up in Heroes of the Storm, and you had to play that a certain amount of time, and then you could then have that skin in-game, and now you can just have it in-game if you want.
Which is kind of crazy. I've never thought I would see a game stopped by Blizzard, so to speak. Not as abruptly, anyway.
Not like this.
Yeah. Not like this. But
especially when they got esports. Like, I mean, did they not think of that? It would affect a lot of people.
Yeah, this is their livelihood.
All I can think is that
something went bad.
It's not making money. Something or whoever's like leading it up or something did something terrible.
Yeah.
Like those are kind of the two reasons why you would cut something like this.
But they're not a company that we're used to being so abrupt with the cut. They try and, like, play it off as, just kind of fizzled out kind of idea.
Yeah, so, okay, well, on to other stuff. More esports stuff, I guess.
Activision.
Blizzard is publicly shaming, like, people that break the rules for the Overwatch League. And so they have a list you can see online. And basically
access.
Yeah.
Yeah, public access, and you can see what they did and what their punishment is, and most of it's just, like, boosting-related, what I've seen, like, from the little snippet that they showed, but...
Yeah, we usually hear on the news the big ones, like...
Yeah, well, it's...
Yeah.
I think this is kind of cool, because it's not just anyone, it's, like, the pros, it's everybody, and I know with football, like, you have to kind of search for it.
Yeah.
But, like, if someone gets fined, like, that's public news.
Yeah.
So this is, I feel like, in that vein of trying to make this legitimate, like, a sport, you know, you're incurring fines. Here's, you know, where this is, and it's public knowledge.
Yeah. I kind of feel like they're doing this in a way, because, remember, we talked about a while back on another episode that Blizzard's really trying hard to kind of control the toxicity in their community.
That too.
And yeah. This is part of that world, especially esports. And this is another way of, because they would usually, you get punished no matter what if you're doing something wrong in their world. But what was bad is that a lot of people, I'm going to say XQC for this one, doesn't really change because of it. Well, like, they'll do something wrong, they get hurt for it, whatever it is, like losing the position, and then they just go right back to doing it. And I feel like this is also another way of keeping it, it's almost like set in stone. Like, people can see you did this, and if you don't want to be on this ever-growing list of things that you do wrong, fix yourself kind of feeling.
Yeah. It also, I think, points to a lot of people don't always know why they get banned or why they get punished in that, and this is...
Yeah, because you did this. Banned. Yeah.
This is the you know, the fine, the,
I guess it's another way of fighting it back, too, because you can be like, no, I didn't, and try and prove it whatever way. I don't know. It's going to be a long one.
So it kind of unfogs sort of the cloudy area, foggy area of why you were banned and not banned.
It's just good to know that people are not untouchable, especially when they're, you know, esports or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm glad they're doing that, because sports has always been, had this, like, heavy protection around it. Like, well, yeah, they're a super, you know, athlete, excuse me, but they also, like, fucked up royal, or they beat up their wife, or they, like, this and that, and but they're still working, like...
Well, that's one of those tough things, because it always...
I understand why it's tough, but it just sucks, because it feels like they're invincible to their mistakes.
Ish.
To an extent.
I always put it as, this is the profession they've trained for.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everyone, and I understand why everyone's upset about Michael Vick, but at this, he's a football player.
Yeah,
dog
it's
fighting.
The dogfighting one, yeah.
And he served his time in prison. You know, he's done all the steps that we as a society have said, these are...
This is how you write your
wrongs.
This is
how you write your wrong, exactly. And people are like, he shouldn't be able to be a quarterback anymore, or this or that. I'm like, but you don't understand. It's not like he can just play another part on the team.
I also want
to
know...
You have to train for this, and this is a very specialized field.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is he can no longer work in his field
because he did something horribly wrong.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah,
yeah, but
it's bad.
Yeah. It's the idea, too, is like no one's perfect. So these people who high and mighty, like, oh, you should never do this again. It's like, okay, let me see your list of possible things you don't announce publicly because you're not a star. Because celebrities also are on a magnifying glass. So just like how the esports is current, everyone's starting to really nitpick on what people are doing. It becomes a thing of like, yeah, people make mistakes. People do stupid shit. They should have a chance to fix themselves. The only time it should not, like, it should be problems if they keep going at
it. Exactly.
And they'll just keep getting punished for it. Like,
yeah. Well, and it's a whole thing with society nowadays where we're kind of forgetting that step.
Mm-hmm. Like, we just want to immediately go to, like, the gallows. Like, hang them. No.
People try to do that. James Gunn. Mm-hmm. There was another person. Oh, who was it? It was recently over Twitter. Like, their past things came up.
Oh,
and now they're no longer...
he was supposed to be the host for
Oscars. Kevin Hart.
Yes.
Like, his past things. And it's like, I understand he said that in the past, but have we seen him grow? Has he learned from that?
And apparently he did publicly apologize and everything before, and he feels like he shouldn't have to do it again if he's already done this just because you found it somewhere.
Yeah. It's why do we keep dredging this up? Why are
we... Like, we don't let people grow from their mistakes.
Yes.
We don't let them fix themselves.
No, and I completely understand if they did not fix it and you're like, fuck this guy,
they're still
forever.
A horrible person.
Kind of like Mel Gibson. Where he had some bad things, he kind of was given redemption, he fucked up again, and it's like, all right, you had your chance, you're done.
I feel like that's our PewDiePie's our Mel Gibson right now.
Oh god, I hate that guy, but yes. Well, I don't hate him, I just don't care about him.
It's like you don't want to care for him any less, but you can't because he's in that world.
He keeps coming over and is like, hi Lisa, and I'm like, stop it. All right. Anyways.
Okay, so the next thing, is the Blizzard releases a statement about the Ellie controversy, which is, I guess it's a 17-year-old girl that signed with Second Wind.
Yeah, and which is a contender, Overwatch contenders group.
Yeah, and she was getting, she ended up quitting not too long after.
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't fully a part of the team, but she was getting signed and getting through the process.
Yeah.
And she was getting harassed and saying that she's faked and all this stuff, and it turns out, she was fake.
It's a very weird one, because what it brought up was the whole Gamergate situation again.
It brings and up the toxicity with women, yeah. And I'm so, like, torn on this one.
Because I'm torn. It's like, I wish people didn't treat someone like that, in general.
Yeah.
I wish that was never a thing. Yeah. I understand that exists, though, and I just wish we had better ways of punishing that. Mm-hmm. But I was, like, downhearted. I was like, well, we're going to have another female gamer, and I was like, excited.
This is awesome.
And now I feel like someone, like, I got fucking tricked so hard. Because, like, let's say she did keep going on, and she went through, and she was all skilled, and then it's like the whole, instead of I am no man, it's like I am no woman situation. And I was like, god damn it. Like,
surprise, I'm a boy.
Yeah. And it's not even in a way like they're trans or they're coming out. It's more like they were just trying to trick or get some kind of controversy going. And it just feels like people are just making fun of us, kind of feeling.
It's frustrating because as a woman, it is very hard to get in those echelons to get sort of respect.
Funny enough, XQC, of all people, XQC was talking about this situation, and he's like, it's not that they're not drawn to this, it's just we scare them away.
Yes.
Because we're terrible, we're toxic, we berate them for being who they are, we can't just let them be. And I was like, holy shit, XQC this? And like, I was like, surprised, of people, he was the one who said this. But, like, it's true. Like, it's not that it's incapable. It's just,
it's not, I want to say a safe space, but that doesn't really matter. It's not a space that is attractive to a woman to join.
Yeah, because of all the things that could come with it. Like, if you saw a room full of, like, toxicity, I'll just say it like that, would you willingly go in there? There are some girls who would. Like, yes. And I'm not going to be like, they're stronger than us. It's just they have a different tolerance of what they were willing to do for their goal.
Yes.
And like the whole thing with Geguri, when she first became like the first female gamer in or female pro gamer in Overwatch, like, it's overwhelming the amount of things that came after her, because she's not also, by society standards, a looker, quote unquote.
I won't go into that. Who the fuck cares?
I know.
They care.
She didn't care either, but it really hurts you as a person when people kind of magnifying glass your looks. But that whole situation came up again. It's like, why can't people just be? Because also media likes to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was a girl and I was doing something that wasn't normally a girl thing to do, quote unquote, I hate when it's like, oh, you're the first so-and-so. I like it as far as like encouragement, but as far as a marketing grab, it's like it's putting a target on that person's back. Now everyone that is horrible is gonna look for them and target them and do like, it's like, let them just do what they wanted to do. Because Geguri said that, she's like, I didn't want to be the forefront, you know, for female pro gamers. I just did this because I like to do it.
Yeah,
like it's hard for just a female gamer just to do what they want to do without being criticized because they're female and they should be like, if they're not great, then they're like, it's because females are suck.
And even if they're great, then it's you're not playing or
you're not playing well enough or why aren't you out there advocating for us all kind of thing. And it's like,
it comes at you almost from both sides, but you never seem to be able to sort of win at it. If you're good, you're always being, you know, questioned for how good you are and is this really you, can you keep
like,
it up?
Yes, that happens
in ways that don't happen to men.
Yeah, not in that intensity.
Yeah,
like, yeah, people are always questioned on the credibility, but like majority of the female streamers that are usually pretty good, or they're doing speed runs, or they're not showing camera because they don't care to, they're usually criticized, like, are you really playing or are you just talking,
and so
and
so,
and they have to prove themselves. And it's like,
and then
this whole
happens
thing.
And it just falls into,
and then
that
it totally throws everyone under the bus that didn't legitimately try to prove themselves. And it's like, god damn it, like, I'm so angry about it.
It's just, oh no, I'm a man, that's right. And then he's like, oh, I'm done after a couple days, it was just too much. I'm like, this is our life.
Yeah, like, and like, you did
it
as
a lot of a lot of girls were like tweeting and saying like, oh, it's cool that you could just be you know, back out of this. You know, it's a guy named Punisher, like, that was doing this.
And I know people were pissed, like, how did Overwatch not catch this beforehand? But
well,
it's
still early on.
It was too early on for them to
it was work. Early
if he would have gotten caught eventually.
Yeah,
but
well,
like,
they weren't submitting his like personal information to get,
which is why it kind of sparked a question,
sort of the background check to say that yes, mm-hmm. Ellie is here, she is this and that, and, you know, a legit person.
Yeah.
And instead, it kind of was all before all that happened, because even Blizzard was like, give us the papers, like, we want to, you know, we want to put her on the team, let's do this.
And of course, then it has, like, what I really hate from comes from this is, like, the terrible people that were saying the horrible things are like, see, we're right. Kind of, they feel like they're validating their actions. It's, and like, I was like,
you're not.
Like, if, let's say if they never attacked this character, Ellie, and this went all the way through, Blizzard would have been like, oh, yo, you're not a real person as far as, like, identity goes. Not necessarily what you want to show up as, or that's not your username, so to speak. So, no, you can't be unless you want to play as yourself. And I believe Punisher's already a person in the Overwatch contenders, that's why.
Yeah. I think so.
So that's another issue. Like, you can't make multiple personalities to play in contenders. But, yeah, that one hurt me. Because I was, like, I was watching it right out, and the whole time I was like,
I know. Like, and at first I'm like, oh, is she a real? I'm like, it's Ellie. Sure, fine. Yes, she's a woman. Why are you even?
Like,
and then it's like,
yeah.
And then she's like, I'm a man. And I'm like, God damn it. You're like,
and not in the encouraging, because they're trans kind of situation. It's more like, God damn it. Like,
can we get a win, please?
Can we stop playing this game with a real situation that people have to deal with? Like,
yeah. Oh, Overwatch.
I just don't understand what the point was exactly.
I know, what were they going to get from it?
Cool. It was some stupid... And
he said it was a social experiment. I'm like, was it though?
Well, what did you learn? Like, he didn't
say that.
With an experiment, you have to put your hypothesis. No, what's the end result of a thesis? You have to basically tell us what you learned from this. Like,
yeah, exactly.
What came from this? What did you learn? Like, people are terrible.
I learned it sucked being a woman.
Yeah.
I learned it sucked being a fake woman as a pro gamer.
And I didn't even get that far. He should have said that. I didn't even get to sign into the company. God damn it. But in slight other news, but still related to the Blizzard Activision world, because they're doing well. Bungie, the creators of Destiny 2, also, if you played it, I forgot the name. Never mind. I'm going to leave that alone. I used to play it. Oni. There we go. Oni.
Okay.
And Halo. Wow, I forgot they did Halo. That's their, it was a big thing, but I'm sorry. I just exposed that I'm a very PlayStation gamer and I totally forgot about their breadwinner. But I played Oni first, which was on PlayStation, and then Halo came out. I was like, well, fuck them, because it was only Xbox. Mm-hmm. PC-ish, depending.
I think it was PC. Because
there was, some on PC.
Might as well be PC.
But mainly Xbox. Microsoft, obviously, PC stuff.
I exposed myself. I'm going to get attacked, guys. But anyway, so Bungie.
Just put
with
keyboards.
Destiny. So Destiny was a contract, in a way, between Activision and Bungie for 10 years.
Okay.
They were supposed, that was Destiny 1, by the way, but they decided Destiny 2, and they threw it into that same mix of the 10-year game cycle, as they called it. Like, they wanted this game to be live on for 10 years and keep content going for 10 years. Then they're like,
did it even hit that?
Nope.
Because, I didn't think so.
So then, somewhere around 4 years in, they're like, hey, what we want to do with the game can't actually be sustained within the current Destiny engine and how it's built, so we're going to make a Destiny 2. And guess what? It's not an expansion. It's a whole new game. So you can't go back to your previous Destiny. Yay. And it became a thing. And I'm a sucker, so I can't be
Destiny.
Like, I can't really be bad mouthing them, because I am the person that bought every fucking thing they ever came out with. But then Destiny 2 comes out. It kind of floats a little bit here and there. They did something great in the beginning, then it fell short. Mm-hmm. It wasn't leading up to what they wanted. Then they came out with more DLC. The first one sucked ass, just like the Destiny 1's first one sucked ass. Second one did better. It was enough of an interest to keep going. And then they always have a major DLC, which is more of like an expansion pack.
Okay.
And that's what Forsaken was.
Okay.
And in my opinion, it did fix the series. It made it It made it great. It made it fun. It made it a reason to keep playing. I still play it almost every other day if I can. It's based on time now.
Yeah.
But instead of making... So obviously in-game purchases, which is mostly cosmetic stuff, only cosmetic stuff actually, didn't make the money they wanted. Activision felt like we're going to end this 10-year contract early. They ended it at 9 years.
Oh, okay. So it was almost 10.
They were getting there. But
my dog's getting angry. Sorry.
It's okay.
I know. It's just upset about doesn't this. Like Destiny either. I know. The world doesn't like Destiny. But they didn't actually ever say why. But of the two parties, Bungie was way more excited about this. they made a whole deal, like, we left and this and that. They were very cheeky and happy about their ventures beyond this, and that they can take Destiny where they want it to go. Because there was a lot of creative conflict. Mm-hmm. Activision, being the company known for usually making a cash grab out of anything they own.
Yes. Understandably, yes. That's their job, yeah. Is to make money.
They're publishers. That's the thing. And Bungie now feels like they have more creative control over the title that they felt like they lost a lot to Activision. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it was a clear split. That's it. Some people are saying behind the scenes that Activision... Well, there was an article saying Activision wasn't happy with the sales for Forsaken. Mm-hmm. So they felt like it wasn't worth their time. Other people are saying that it was a conflict of interest. They were just dropping a title because they felt like it wasn't worth any more investment outside of just money reasons. They just felt like it was getting old, kind of thing.
Okay.
But now we're seeing lawsuits coming out of nowhere from Bungie suing, I believe, Activision for a breach of contract. Ooh. And how they're trying to take Destiny as an IP away from them when they were not legally obligated to.
I thought they gave them Destiny.
That's what they said.
Yeah, but now they're trying to take it back?
Paper-wise, I guess. Or some kind of control over it.
Okay. Well, it might be some sort of thing where they make money off of it, even though Bungie uses it. And
Bungie's not a huge company compared to, like, Activision and mm-hmm. Blizzard.
Yeah.
So it almost feels like an indie company trying to reclaim their rights. Because a lot of people are worried, too. Like, how is Bungie going to hold Destiny as a title? Because it only was successful based on the backs of, like, the marketing team of... But the power, I guess, of the marketing team of Activision.
The money that they could put into it. Yeah.
And
well, I mean, they do have Destiny 1 and 2 to build off of. Mm-hmm. So there is... And Halo.
And there's already hints at Destiny 3 coming. Oh. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's going to be interesting, but a lot of the lawsuits are still kind of vague. Everything's kind of hidden behind, like, he said, she said, to make it not so out in the public.
Yeah, because I was reading another article about this where there's lawsuits going against Activision from their investors. Because
mm-hmm.
I guess they were telling their investors that they were...
backing out of that contract.
No, they weren't backing out of it. That they were more focused on it. And because... And it's between August 2018 and when they split,
mm-hmm.
and it's within that time period any investors in it are, I guess, a part of it.
Yeah.
And because someone announced it in August that they were splitting and that it was, I guess, it was quiet, and then they were,
it was
telling,
more like a Twitter announcement,
and then they were telling their investors like the opposite. So
because it seems
the investors are upset
that
Bungie and Destiny are leaving.
And then unrelated, I didn't put it in here, but or it's not unrelated. It's actually very related.
More related.
Blizzard and Activision have also been like people are reporting that they're losing lots and lots of money, that to the point where they're hemorrhaging. And something else, like they're getting hit lawsuits by other companies too, from what I understand. So it's like things are going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of.
No, definitely, because they're losing like CEOs, COOs,
to other companies,
both Blizzard and Activision. Mm-hmm. They're losing, and it's not something to really be afraid of, but it's like all of these things together. Because yes, after like 10, 20 years, 5 mm-hmm. years, a lot of people move on. They're like, I've done what I can here. Let me go start my
Venture
own company,
out.
Work mm-hmm. with this other company I want. All, you know, it's part of the natural sort of cycle of these things. But it's kind of seeing people bailing ship. You've got investors upset. You're ditching this other company.
Yeah.
Wow.
It just feels
it's
like something bad's going
to
happen.
Interesting to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, because, like, Blizzard's a big dog when it comes to, like, game companies. They've been on forever. They have a lot of really well-made games and history.
And then they're
kind of slowly going into a weird world of mobile gaming, which always has a backlash no matter where you go with it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how great the game is, people are going to have a backlash towards it.
Well, because there's still a stinginess to mobile games.
Yeah.
We don't see them.
Well, especially since Blizzard is primarily PC gamers.
Yeah.
It's a very big disconnect. Like.
Yeah. I get the move towards mobile because more people, you get more
accessibility.
People with it.
Yeah.
And you can do the microtransactions mm-hmm. and you can make more money off of it.
But that's what they're worried about, especially since Activision being known for their microtransactions. It's just, it feels like we got a little tremor of like action happening, and then the tremors are getting a little bigger and wider, and now it's like, when is the big one that's going to split California in half kind of thing going to happen?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, it's all fascinating, but at the same time, like, what the heck's going on that they can't say in like press releases or anything? Like, Activision didn't even make a comment on losing Bungie. It was, we all heard it from like Bungie themselves.
Yeah. They're like, later, bitches.
Yeah.
We're gone. Yeah. Weird. I guess moving on to some more weird bad news. So the CEO of Gearbox, which makes Borderlands, which I hate the way that they're pairing this all together. They're like, this guy was Borderlands, and it's like, it's not quite that.
No.
But the CEO of Gearbox, Randy Pitchford, has a new lawsuit against him about child pornography,
which is a big thing.
It's a big, gross, icky thing.
Yeah. It's one thing to be like, because you missed paying your taxes, or because you did something slightly illegal, but this is like, not only is it illegal, it's also gross, and it makes you completely change your image of a person.
Yeah, he's fighting it, him and I think it's a Gearbox lawyer, not necessarily his lawyer. It's Gearbox's counsel, but I don't know if he's working with him via Gearbox or on his own.
Okay, because
that would kind of change things a little bit.
Because I know Gearbox is probably going to try and save their name.
Yeah.
Because they've been under a lot of heat, too, and they still want to try and eventually get Borderlands 3 out.
Yeah, but apparently they found some child pornography, and then there is, it was underage photography, and then there was allegedly an adult party featuring minors, children were fondled.
This is like the TV shows are made off of.
He's denying it all, so there's that, but ever since Bill Cosby came around, like, anyone that's like, I didn't do it, I'm kind of like, you need a little more than that nowadays.
Because everyone's word is not really the word anymore.
That's what Cosby said, and look what he did. He just, like, raped and knocked out 50 women and didn't allow any of them to consent. It's all great. So that it's gross, and I'm sad because I feel like it's going to tarnish kind of Gearbox Borderlands.
And they've been getting a lot of hits right now. They also lost a lot of their good writers. Like, as we know, I can't remember his name, but Ashley Birch's brother.
Andy Birch?
Yeah.
He's one of the main writers on Borderlands, which is what we loved about it. Yeah. And he's no longer with the company.
Well,
and
he
then
left a while ago.
He did.
I think.
But, like, which made people a little skeptical about Borderlands 3, but they also said he's going to work a little more remotely. It's a weird...
I feel like he wants to do something different, and
they
want him to do Borderlands, and he's like, I want to, you know,
but then Randy Pitchford always felt like that... He felt like the cliche CEO that's like, yeah! And he's always yelling and screaming, jumping on stage, doing something fun, and it's like, I don't know if he's a CEO that actually actively works with the company kind of thing.
I think so, but I don't really know. But it's not good news.
Like, he's the one who came out and was like, we're hiring guys, by the way. Yeah. Like, it was weird. It was like CEO telling me this. But,
Because I don't really know what game they released last, but I remember they were part of the Alien...
Colonial Marines
debacle, and they were like, it's our thing, and then it was like, this is shit, and then they're like, it's not our thing, other people worked on this.
I think they also had I know the Duke Nukem Forever was their failure as well.
Yeah. So they haven't been really turning
outside
out
of Borderlands
hits.
Itself, like, they don't have a Battleborn. That's the big
one.
Sad,
oh
we
my
forgot
God.
That.
That poor game.
It has so much potential.
And it's
gone now.
It farted all over. Well, that's actually one of my favorite things about watching Ready Player One is there's so many Battleborn assets in there.
Yeah.
And then there's like...
I was like, ooh, they thought this was going to be good.
And it's hilarious because Overwatch and Battleborn have kind of always been in a forever long battle between which
they're
one
like
is better.
They're like the twins that were born at the same time, but one looks better.
Damn.
And kind of Overwatch won.
Yeah.
And poor Battleborn.
Kind of.
Battleborn lost. It's just... It's.
I mean, it wasn't necessarily
it
because of Overwatch,
DOA.
But it didn't help.
Yeah. Yeah, because in that movie, there's like maybe three Overwatch
things. Weird.
There's like a Tracer, I think Reaper, and someone else. But then, like in almost every wide shot, mm-hmm. there's at least one Battleborn character in it. And I'm like, oh my god, they must have been so cheap. Or they thought this was going to be a hit when this came out.
But like, my first thought is, when it, even, let's say advertising-wise, I'm not going to go, oh, I wonder what that character's from. I'm going to go check it out. No. Like, they maybe showed Battleborn as a title once, I think. And the whole thing, it was like a tower full of games, right? And is it like Battleborn?
I don't know. I just know they had the mushroom guy walked by. Yeah. Then there was one of the Krolls, I think, or something. There was like one in like every wide shot. It was hilarious.
Did you play that one, Cindy?
Battleborn. No, I never checked out Battleborn at all.
It's so weird because I played it in every convention I could.
Yeah.
It seemed decent. It seemed like it was going to be some kind of fun. And I thought, I love Borderlands. This is going to be a great tradition.
Well, I wasn't sure. I played it at a couple conventions, mm-hmm. too.
I think we played at Comic-Con for sure with each other.
Yeah, but I wasn't as sold on it, but I felt like there was more to it than there was Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, everyone start laughing.
Which there was more to it.
It's funny. It has a campaign, which I usually love over PvP. Yeah. But
It needed more time, I think, to find a better game. It had interesting ideas, and I really wanted to support it because it was Gearbox, because they did Borderlands. And I was like, they want new, fresh IP, so I'm going to support this because they need the win sort of thing. And then
they let us all down.
it was really bad timing. I mean Blizzard compared to Gearbox is just...
Oh, Blizzard.
It's not going to happen.
It's like when you don't make an animated film when Pixar makes an animated film, so because you're not going to win.
Yeah. It didn't help that Blizzard offered a free beta the weekend. Mm-hmm. And this was before Overwatch came out.
It killed it before it even came out, yeah.
It was opening weekend for Battleborn, and they were like, free beta for Overwatch, and... It killed it. Because you could then see Overwatch for all it was and go yes or no. And then if you already had Battleborn, there's like no one to play with still.
Trying to find cues was so long. And like, you can't play that game by yourself. It is not possible to play it by yourself.
It's really hard to play it by yourself. Because I know I think I did everything but the final campaign by myself. And the final campaign, you need people.
Yeah, and even that was like 2 hours for one little story. And took forever. And if you all died, like wipe died, you have to start back from the beginning. And it's like, they did not make it forgiving in any way. Like, there was no incentive for me to keep going at that.
Yeah.
And the trophies were ridiculous. Like, the amount of them was like... I like trophies that are like more convoluted into the like actions you do. Like, if you collect a lot of this, you get this. But this was like, they expected you to play 50 plus hours on each character in that game.
Yeah, and there was too many characters to do that.
Too many characters. Also, you're forcing me to play playstyles. When you gave me options for various playstyles, I don't expect to be strangled
to one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they had this really cool robot.
Yeah, the sniper.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite to play.
And I'm a shitty sniper, and I'm like, nope.
I cannot play him by myself. Like, I needed a team. Yeah. Because, like, what am I going to do? Snipe until they get close to me? And, like...
Yeah, that was what you're supposed to
do.
And
it's like, then run away and do it again. Like...
Yeah. Oh, Battleborn. Yeah. How you disappointed us all.
Randy Pitcher's probably really happy we geared that off to Battleborn.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's all. Unless anyone's got something they want to say about that.
There's nothing more until
anyone
we get more information.
Child porn is not cool, by the way. Never will be cool.
It never was cool. It never will be cool. Just don't.
Nope. Just don't.
Just say no to child pornography.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then moving on, we've got Soulja Boy. And you may know him.
Up in this hoe.
As a rapper, right? That's what he is. I don't really know who
he's
this guy is.
He's a musician.
He's a musician rapper. Anyways, he's trying to break into the gaming industry. Apparently, he's got his own console. He's got his own PSP Vita.
Uh-huh.
So this guy is hawking gaming systems.
Yeah.
And
like,
then,
cliche Chinese market, black market.
Basically, they're saying they're emulators, and then he's just like slapping his name on them.
Yeah, I don't know who talked him into this.
I don't.
But this feels like he's like, I love like video games. And this marketing person's like, we can get you into like the, okay, by the way, anytime a company comes out of nowhere, I took it off of the topics, but anytime a company comes out of nowhere to try and challenge the big dogs right now, which is PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo.
Yeah. Which has been for a really long
while.
Time.
And it's like the last one was, what, Sega?
Valve.
Oh, Ouija tried. Yeah. Valve tried with the Steam Box, and that didn't go well.
That didn't work well.
It was just, it's like always a mess. It's going to be a hard, it's a big hurdle to get over.
It's a really hard
to even
sell.
Streamline over, like just to at least hover in that market. And like, Madbox is the new one coming out, which looks really bad. It looks like a 90s knockoff of what they thought
they
were going to
be. They did the design on that. I've seen that. It looks a lot better now. Before, I was like, what is this? I was like, it looked like a PC tower. I'm like, what is that thing? That's massive. Nobody's going to want that in their house.
It looks like old school Xbox, the original Xbox, but like more cumbersome and large. Like,
It looks sleek, but I'm like, it looks like a fucking PC tower.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what gets some people off of it, because, you know, it's ugly, but then also it's like, well, it's going to have great specs because it's massive. It's got to have something in there.
The upper strength on that thing was supposed to
and it came with a carrying hand. I'm like, what? Where are you taking that thing?
Hey,
just say it, it's the new Switch, guys.
The GameCube came with one, too.
But GameCube was actually portable.
The GameCube was tiny, though, compared to that shit.
That is true.
But they did update the design. I linked it, but, I was checking it out. It looks a lot better now. It looks more like the PlayStation 4.
Okay.
And size-wise and shape.
Thank goodness.
But he went through several designs just on that.
But see, they're doing it, in my opinion, right? Even though it's still a weird world, but Soulja Boy.
Yeah, so
he's just like, I just want my name on there. Like,
yeah, he's like, I like games. Let me make my own system.
And then it's not even his own system. All he's doing is slapping his name on it, first off. And it's literally a black market copy of the system. Various systems. It's not just one. Yeah. It's like Game Boys, PS Vita, the Switch.
He's got a new PS Vita like device.
It even has the PlayStation symbols on the touchpad in the back still.
I didn't even know that. That is hilarious.
It's not even trying.
It's got the PlayStation controls on it too. The square, triangle. Oh my god, this is terrible.
And early on,
such trash. And it's for the reasonable price of $200.
I would buy something else in a heartbeat. But the other thing too. When this all started, somebody was like, you're totally going to get sued by Nintendo.
Yeah, and now Nintendo's suing
and them. And he was like, I bet they wouldn't. And he'd like mad dog them or whatever. Yeah. I was like, fuck off.
And
do you know who you're fighting?
No, he does not. So now he's being slapped with lawsuits and cease and desists for selling this system. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, he's talking about how his new console, yes, he's got a new one, guys. It will be playing Fortnite. Except Epic, who creates Fortnite, owns it, is like,
no,
we're not putting it on there.
You can't say you want the game on there and it happens.
They're like, nope. So he's, I guess, trying to make a name for himself in gaming. Just not that.
I guess with the littlest effort you can put for trying.
Yeah, because he also tried to play it off. He's like, I'm just a boy with a dream. And people were like, it's not the dream that's the problem. It's the execution.
I mean, he could make this work if he really wanted to do his own system.
I think he'd be in a better spot to make his own game before making a system.
Probably.
Like,
but look, this guy is going balls out. He is already ahead of us.
He feels like that, everyone knows that one 20-something-year-old that thought they hit it big with this random project they found out of nowhere in the back alley of wherever, and they're gonna make it amazing. They know how to make this work because they're a salesman, that kind of thing. And they hawk all their friends. They're like, you should buy this. This is great. And it ends up being nothing or like even remotely interesting. And they're super enthusiastic about it. And then like years from now, you find out obviously it didn't work out. And they're just kind of humbly sitting there in the background on whatever money they did make from this. It just feels like Soulja Boy was trying to be relevant again. That's what it feels like.
I don't know anything about this guy.
Yeah, I only know him because of the stupid Superman like song.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I know him.
And guess what? We know about him now because of this.
Ooh, watch me. Soulja Boy. That's what it was called. That song. And it's funny because around this time when he started showing up with this weird shit, a new emote came out for Destiny, which is, I find funny, by the way. Destiny has a bunch of, like, emotes that are dance moves. but they didn't rename them. But mm-hmm. if you know the dance movie, you know where it's from.
Yeah.
Whereas Fortnite does the same thing, but Fortnite's way more popular, and they're being sued for dances, but not Destiny. But Soulja Boy's in there for Destiny. And I was like, oh my god, is that Soulja Boy? And I was like, god damn it. Like, you recognize it. And I was like, why is it suddenly relevant again? Like, he was a late 2000s, mid-2000s person?
I don't know.
I don't...
Listen,
he was
a
kid
rap,
last time
so.
I heard anything from him, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm
keep on keeping on, Soulja
just
Boy.
Not my type of music, but yeah, it's just wow. Good luck to you, Soulja Boy.
JonTron did all a right. video on it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
because I was backing away from a lot of stuff from his controversy, mm-hmm. but uh-huh. this video in particular, how he broke it down is basically how we speak on it, but mm-hmm. in his comedic way. And it's just hilarious. It's like, he even bought them. He bought those. And it took forever to get to his house, by the way. Because he always tries out and knock off machines and stuff. And he's like, half of the things don't even run. Like, it freezes before it can get anywhere.
Wow.
And it's just bad.
Yeah. You should just quality check that shit. Mm-hmm. Just make it better. Even if it's crap, just make it better.
Mm-hmm. Steal all those games. No one ever cared.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the other thing is we got is Ubisoft dev is threatening PewDiePie over his anti-Semitic statements and stuff. Basically, that's going on, and she got fired recently because of that.
Yep, and it's all because that's unethical when it comes to business. But basically, if we all know the shit that's going around with PewDiePie, we've reported on it several different times.
Yeah, he's,
but he's not changing much. And there's a lot more push for him lately because he was trying to beat out T-Series, which is another YouTube channel, which is actually a Indian YouTube channel that just is a variety of videos.
Okay.
But they were beating him number-wise as the highest views on, or the highest views or follows, I think.
Number of subs, yeah.
Yeah, subscriptions. So his fans went on an initiative to try and get more people to follow him.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, it was a huge fiasco. It was going to be a topic one month at one point, but I was like, I think I don't care. But,
welcome to my world.
I don't either, actually.
Yeah, it's just, it was annoying because I felt like if that person walked up to me, I was like, no, I know who he is, but no, thank you. Because it always was like, do you know who PewDiePie is? That kind of stuff. Oh, it was basically like
religious. Do you
want
us to talk about our Lord and Savior, PewDiePie?
So he's been up and coming again in the world of gaming, and him with his anti-Semitic jokes offended a Ubisoft developer.
Mm-hmm.
She, the problem is not only lying that she got offended, but and what she said, but her being female didn't help the situation either because of the toxicity of that world and a lot of his fans. But she threatened, I guess, do we have a quote? Because it's really weird. In the gaming world, I can see it as, like, a small, like, hit, and that's about it. Somebody's put it up. Oh, right, here you are. Her name's Diana.
Yeah.
I don't see her last name.
Okay, so...
Safety, I guess?
Yeah. So it says, gaming industry, I'm gonna need you to end this dude. You know exactly who you are.
And it's like, enough is enough.
But
Call
it says...
Ties with him now.
So people are reading this as a death threat.
I wrote it as, like, she wants people to stop funding and giving him information. It's the same reason, same thing people say to the Kardashians. They're like, why did so-and-so, like, David Bowie had to die when Kardashians could have taken their place? Those kind of things people say.
It to me, I read it as stop giving him games to review.
Stop making him relevant.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But people took it as it was a death threat.
Well, even if it wasn't a death threat, this is not something you say if you're working in the industry he is involved in. Just like the people who say death to the Kardashians, for example, you probably shouldn't be in media that is directly involved with them kind of thing. Or the person that makes fun of Kanye West and they work in the music industry. There's like, you got to be a little careful with what you're doing. Not like as another musician, but as like you're a producing house or something.
Well, it's one of those things. You have to take your position into consideration. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are your own person, but at times when you say things, it's going to reflect on the company.
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Like, this is something you probably could have said to friends in person.
Yeah.
And people, your close friends and family or people you're hanging out with would understand your sentiment. Mm-hmm. But when you put it as a tweet, it becomes, there's no emotion behind it. So we're going to take it however we want to take it. So his fans are going to take it as a death threat to their beloved Lord and Savior. And obviously Ubisoft was attacked for this because she worked for Ubisoft.
Yes.
Naturally, fans would attack them for it. And they were threatening to not, you know, pre-order Division 2. And I was like, whatever. It's just the threats are kind of funny.
Ooh, don't pre-order.
I know.
It's buy like, it later.
It's just kind of like a... It was a lot of back and forth, but Ubisoft, it was not like they buckled down and felt threatened. It's more like they understood the business aspect, because Ubisoft gets a lot of business fuck-ups, a lot. Mm-hmm. And
well, yeah, because they're French, so they tend don't to not understand. Phrase things correctly. Yeah.
And they have a different idea of how culture works in their setup. And it's just, when it came to her saying this, it was easier to cut ties with her for breaking, like, what is it? Ethics?
I don't know if it's ethics business necessarily, ethics. But it's basically, it's reflecting bad on the company. And mm-hmm. the easiest way to fix it is to let her go.
Yeah.
Because yeah. it just, it looks poor on her.
It's a smaller slap on the wrist kind of thing.
Yeah. It just, it sucks because...
It also hinders her way of getting work elsewhere, though, for
possibly.
A while.
Possibly.
It's yeah. that thing, guys, watch what you say. Especially
yeah.
on the internet.
Yeah, it's not...
I mean, look at yeah. Kevin Hart. People will find things years later.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's yeah. like... And I'm not saying what she's doing did was good. It's just more like, understand the repercussions of your actions.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean... Obviously, people were attacking her for being, I don't know what her position, but she's a developer. But developer is a wide spectrum that can be literally anyone in the company
mm-hmm.
that is active in the creation of a video game. But,
I thought she was higher echelon.
She was higher up.
Yeah. I could be wrong.
Which makes it even weirder that she would
since
say
I read
this.
The article. I think, yeah, it was just, maybe she was, you know, one of those, like, late nights and you're
yeah.
drunk and then all of a sudden you just say something you don't mean to and I honestly don't think the intention here was to kill him.
Oh, no.
I yeah. honestly believe she just wants people to stop giving him content
support. It's yeah. like, and I get it, like I'm done with PewDiePie. I don't want him to just die. I don't want him to race off the face of the earth. I don't want to hear about him anymore. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't interesting to me. And I've tried in various times to see if maybe there's something different now, but it just seems like not the kind of entertainment I like.
And that's okay.
And it's, yeah, and he can live his life, but don't shove it down my throat. And he does so many things, like he's human, and especially humans on a mixing two words together.
Magnifying glass.
Magnifying glass are going to be scrutinized
mm-hmm.
way more, as any celebrity would. And... I know, man, there's some vile things people are saying back and forth about this whole situation, but I think you get the idea. I think the other thing that hurts her, too, is she was a huge, like, feminist activist.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, that's a really touchy area because of situations that everyone's in, both politically and then ever since the Gamergate thing. And saying that kind of thing, you just basically made people who think... they know what it is, like they know what feminists are,
you're just
right,
adding fuel
kind
to
of
the
thing
fire,
yeah.
yeah.
And it becomes this huge situation of like, it's better just to have said that among your close, like don't say
it,
things
it just
online.
Was better not to say it at all.
Like I try and be really careful about my critiques on things because I work in the game industry
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to be that person that's like, oh, Sasha said this place sucks or mm-hmm. something. So I try and make it seem like as baseline as possible without being too harsh, because I can be harsh
mm-hmm.
and I know I don't feel like it was, but I understand if you're coming from that position it can be. Like when I did the reaction video for the teaser they did for The Walking Dead episode
uh-huh.
3, because Skybound picked it up
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to see how it was, you know, the yeah. rile up everybody, and I watched it and I was relatively unfazed because it was more of a recap video than it was a like new content.
Yeah.
And there's a nice little moment in there with Lee and stuff, or like his voice anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, that's nice and this and that. I made a comment and in there I was like, well, because you know how Telltale failed. And I was like, and who, I forgot who, I was like, but they failed.
Yes.
And they failed their employees the most, like mm-hmm. it wasn't the fans necessarily, because everybody would love to have another game because they had a lot of great properties, but they didn't manage it well
yeah.
and in business tactics that's a failure and that's how
yeah.
you do it. So I wasn't trying to be mean, but I can see how it comes off as like I'm detached from
mm-hmm.
them as a, like I'm not treating them as human beings, so to speak. And
well,
I was like,
it is a company,
yeah,
it's not a human being.
I treated the people who were affected by it like human beings
mm-hmm.
And then I also had my opinion because I would love to have seen more of The Walking Dead. I wanted to end it legitly.
Yeah.
But if it didn't, I'm okay. Like, I can
I'm
live.
Okay it got an ending.
But yeah. I love that Skybound picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird... It's just that... It's part of that thing where the game industry is evolving.
Yeah.
From, obviously, we saw that with the Game Awards and all, but I guess that's just... We're going to see this kind of spiral out of control over the year. I think not necessarily her or this. I'm just thinking like that world, but because I don't want to go too much into more of it. It's gonna come back around, so I guess we can just we'll go back in sometime.
We'll pick up.
We'll
on
be
it
back.
Probably in a couple
you'll
months.
You'll hear about it, but I guess we can get into the games we played.
Okay.
Close out the rest of the stream after that.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll go first since I played the least amount of games. I mean, I'm always playing like Overwatch and Pokemon Go. That's obvious. I picked up Red Dead Redemption 2 and I love this game. I loved the first Red Dead Redemption, not like Red Dead Revolver or all those ones, but the first one I came to was Red Dead Redemption, and it was one of those first open world games that it was done by Rockstar, and like you know them from Grand Theft Auto, but this is Grand Theft Auto, but not really.
Yeah.
Like, I really got lost in the desert in the first game. I was, you know...
It felt real in a weird way.
It felt... And I
video
just,
game, but
it's,
yeah.
It's one of those things where I... That game, and I think there was a couple Westerns that came out that year or something, but it was... I realized I really love the desert and that Western ambiance theme, whatever. So this kind of picks up and pulls at that again, and I was like, I loved going out and finding all the, you know, bushes and things that, you know, oh, this is sage, well, you know, I can pick it and do things with it.
Yeah.
I could, you know, tame horses, wild horses, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, so this game, you know, you can tame wild horses in this game, not as exciting as it was in the first game, but that's fine. that's like a little thing. I had issues playing it at first. I don't remember if I got it and I was still on the podcast at that time. Mm-hmm. So if I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry. I took a little break.
I think we skipped. We haven't recorded. I don't remember. I don't think we've recorded since Red Dead.
I feel like I talked about Red Dead, but I just was talking about it a lot when it first came out. So it's like, I don't know. Was I talking with people or was I talking on the podcast? So, like, I had issues with it at the beginning because, like, I first started the game and hit, like, two major glitches and was very upset. But I kept going. And it just, once it opened up into the open world, it was just magnificent. It's like, I completely ignored any quest in the game for, like, a good 12 hours. And I searched the entire map. And I'm going to fix this north of Blackwater, because at first I told my sister, I was like, I opened the entire map, and she was like, how did you do that? Like, because there's at some point there there's Blackwater, and when you cross into Blackwater you're not supposed to actually be there.
Yeah,
people are hunting for you because that's where the game pushes
the
you.
Story
the story that's following parts of the story. But my sister was showing me that you can go through there, and she was like, I tried so hard to open up the entire map and I couldn't. So she was trying to figure out what I meant by that, and I was like, well, I guess everything north of that is what I opened. But she found out that, like, if you, like, just try and run your horse as far south as you can, it gets to a point where the bullets are shooting at you. No one's really there, but bullets are shooting at you and they kill you.
It's just a permakill.
It's a permakill. Okay. The game does not want you to go past a point, so
can't
it
go to tumbleweed
kills you
just yet.
Yeah, and then she was like, I even tried getting there by sea, so I rode my way there, and she goes, Arthur got up and jumped out of the boat and killed himself.
Like, oh my gosh.
And she's like, yes, he just got up. I did not tell him to do that. He just was like, fuck it, and got up and jumped off the boat and killed himself. I was floored, and then she showed me, and I was like, oh my god, you're right. Like, I believed you.
He
like,
was
lying about it.
They really don't want you going out there.
Yeah, so there's definitely a point where you can then cross over.
Yeah.
But before that, you cannot do that. But I've had so much fun with this game, and I'm finding I love games with these little interactions. Like, I found that with Zelda Breath of the Wild. It's like I had my own stories of things that... not necessarily everyone can come, you know, could come across, but if you decided to go and follow this one thing, you know, you've
that's how you experienced
it. Yeah. So I'm loving these little experiences in this game. Like, it felt like the first part of the game, I had sort of shared experiences, but all slightly different.
Because it's more confined.
Yeah, it was a little more confined, and it was like, yeah, I saw this guy trying to shoe his horse, and I tried to help him out, and the horse killed him.
I remember hearing the beginning days of people talking about the game, and all their stories were something slightly different, but sign in the same area. But yeah, over time, I started to realize, oh, those are always going to happen in some capacity in that area. And it became like, okay, it's not as unique, but for its time, it was.
But it can still be that unique, you know, like I...
Because of how you experienced it or when you came up on it. Like, yeah, like the cabin in the woods with you and the bear, Cindy.
Yeah, that was
I only saw Cindy's really fucking video funny. I haven't done that yet.
I haven't got there yet. But every cabin I open now...
Ricky led me there.
Every cabin I open, I'm always weary of that.
You know, but in the, every time I come across someone that's got like a snake bite, suck out their venom, you get better rewards.
You usually do, and it's an overtime.
I always go for the suck.
Well, I mean, that's just, you know, a thing. But then I found out you got better rewards, and now it's permanent.
Wait, I can suck and get rewards?
But I had no idea until you said that right now. I was like, nope, I'm going to suck it out.
You know, and it's because my sister's mad at me because I haven't beaten the game yet, and it's been out for a couple months now. And I was like, well, they're just, I have other things.
Also,
I've been
busy. It kind of ruins your want to keep playing it when you finish a game, because it feels like you're trying to revisit something that you should just let simmer.
I've just been taking my time with it, you know.
It is a good game to take your time with, I feel. Like, the only thing is you get into spoiler territory, which is the only issue, I'd say. But I was actually able to avoid that, so I'm pretty happy with that. But it's not everybody, you know, especially if you're reading up on a lot of stuff, just happens. But it's really nice to take your time in that game. It's just, it's so fucking calming just to be in that environment, I feel. Love it.
Absolutely. I mean, there's been days where I'm like, I don't have a lot of time. Well, I'm like, let me go run around here. Yeah. And, you know, do shenanigans here. It's just, it's a fun, expansive game. There's also an online aspect to it. Mm. I played that a little, but I like the main game better.
Yeah.
Because the online feels like it's the main game, but now you can play with friends. Mm-hmm. And you lose sort of the whole Arthur narrative. And I've been enjoying it. I came across the Ku Klux Klan and two instances. Yeah. It was kind of the first time I was not very well prepared. There was a big group of them outside of Rhodes, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna kill them all. And then I like I said, not well executed, did not kill them all. But you don't get any penalties or positives from doing it, so I'm like, this is a win-win for me.
I know history, and you're not welcome here.
And then my favorite is the second time I came across them. They were in the mountains, and there's three of them. There was like this one leader who was not wearing white sheets, and then there were two wearing white sheets trying to put up a cross.
Okay.
And I shot the guy, I guess, leading them in the head, and the other guys, since they were trying to pull the cross up, were like, what the fuck? And they dropped the cross. The cross falls and kills both of them. I was like, yes!
I had a lot. I don't...
Three for one!
We can all have, obviously, experiences in different ways, but I'll just tell the one, which is my Ku Klux Klan experience, and it's just out of Valentine, because I didn't venture too far out.
Yeah, this one was outside of Valentine.
It was nighttime, and I was like, maybe I should probably head back to town. It's probably dangerous out here. And I see fire in the woods, and I was like, that's weird. That's a lot of light.
Yeah.
Like, that looks like a home, but it's moving. Yeah. So I go over there, and I kind of sneak in, and I see it's a fiery cross. And I was like, oh, it's the Ku Klux Klan. And I was like, all right. And I was like, I'm just going to take my gun out and try and kill them all. And then the one guy turns around and sees me, because I thought they were all turning the other way.
Yeah.
And he starts, like, yelling and threatening
and
stuff.
Oh, they were very nice to me when I met them in the group.
Mine got, I think it's because I had my gun out, but they got aggressive with me immediately. And he tried to shoot me, but the guy who let the the thing on fire, the cross on fire, mm-hmm. turned around and lit him on fire on accident, and then he got himself caught on fire, and it was just hellfire in the middle of this forest as people were shooting at me because I had to like take cover.
Yeah.
And like I killed like I guess a handful of them. The rest of them killed themselves, but I was like, oh man, this is
I'm
great.
I'm gonna try and do that now. Find them and have them set them.
Because he still had his torch out, so yeah. like they were just haphazard and they're wearing fucking sheets. So like they're flammable, and I was like, this is okay. And I was like, I just looted them all and went back into town. I was like, okay, that was my night.
Yeah, but I love this game. It's my favorite game that I've played for a while.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know.
I can go hours on this, so that's why I'm trying to cut it short.
I haven't gotten too far.
Yeah, I know we're all in different places. Yeah. So I'm also trying to avoid
spoilers.
Well,
I picked it up way late. I couldn't necessarily afford games at the time, and I told myself I was going to back off for a little bit because mm-hmm. I have a lot of backlog to play through.
Yeah.
And Diego surprises me for my birthday, Red Dead Online. And a couple days before Online actually opens, or sorry, Red Dead 2, but just a couple days before Online opens up.
Mm-hmm.
But the version he got me was also the one that gave us early access to Online. So I was like, I played maybe on a, like, say, 4 or 5 hours. No, I want to say like 5 to 6 hours of the single player.
Uh-huh.
I got to the Lenny mm-hmm. situation. Anyone who's played knows that.
That
thing.
One was so fun.
It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun in that whole scene. I really hate that I was by myself when I had it. Like, I wanted to tell somebody about it. But the online mode came out, and I'm a sucker for this kind of thing. That's like mm-hmm. GTA Online. It's the only thing I really play from GTA. I haven't played the single player. And I get immediately started, and I try and get Swanson in on it because he was already in on it. He had the edition, and it's like Swanson starts building his character already, and we're like, we gotta get Bernice on it, we gotta stream it now. And so it becomes this whole title of the things we gotta do, and Bernice never picked it up, so we're like, who can use the donation money? And she's like, I thought we were gonna use that computer. And I was like, you can go to both. But so we ended up buying her the not the souped up version, but there's so many tiers of games now. Mm-hmm. But she was able to start playing with us, but we weren't going to stream it until Saturday anyway, or Friday, one of the two. So she didn't need to get the day one edition. Yeah. So we were doing things like that. And it took us a while to get used to it because the controls are a little sticky, but they're not terrible. Like, once you know how they work, you can kind of move around.
Once
them.
You stop accidentally shooting everybody, you're better.
Or your horse doesn't decide tree is the greatest friend it ever had.
Or you punch your horse.
Yeah.
First horse I got, punched it.
Yeah.
Everything. And then, or it'll jump off a 6 feet fucking drop, but if there's a rock in front of it, it'll fall forward. But like, various different things. And I'm really enjoying it. I just ran out of things to do. There's no events. There are stuff to do, I guess, if I really want to, but I don't want to sit there for 6 hours hunting. Like, I don't want to do this over and over again. Right. And then I'm so invested in the online mode, I don't feel like going back to Arthur and doing it all over again. I just found 100 animals. It was one of the badges.
Yeah.
It took me forever, and I finally found the one I was missing that was unique. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I don't want to do this again as Arthur. And obviously, for the stream, we're playing Friday the 13th, Dead by Daylight, and all that stuff, so that's always a thing I'm always doing. But Destiny 2 came out with their newest DLC after the Forsaken expansion called The Forge, which is actually not the greatest because the amount of they tried to bring back the grind to Destiny because they made it a little too casual.
Mm-hmm.
Then they made it a little more evened, I would say, when Forsaken came out. And then The Forge was like for hardcores.
Yeah.
And then they expected so much of us as a community to mm-hmm. get done within a certain amount of time that people, like, what are you talking about? Like, people barely got to this current level cap, and now you want us to hit this to even start the new content. It was like we were locked out of the stuff we paid for, kind of thing.
That's weird.
It took a while to get an idea of how it's going, but it did give me more stuff to do, so I didn't feel like I lost. Like, now I had a goal, if anything. But it didn't feel like that had to be a DLC you paid for. I bought a season pass, so for me it doesn't feel like I lost anything because it's part of what I paid for.
Mm-hmm.
But those who wanted to buy it separately, it's like, damn, like,
you got fucked.
It's not a full DLC. It's almost like just a little activity to do on the side in the world that's already been created. Now they're also adding more forges over time, and the forges are like little tiny miniature raids or waves of enemies. Horde mode. And it's interesting, but it gave me something to do. I've got my main character, the max level, so now I'm gonna focus on my other guys. And it's just something. Mm-hmm. But, like, and I'm also collecting all the new weapons and everything. So it's given life back to the series, which is what it's supposed to as a MMO-ish thing. But, I don't know. It's a hell of a jump. If you didn't, like, if you picked up at Forsaken, you already have a hell of a grind. Yeah. It's a year and a half of worth of grind to get to. And then the Forge adds, like, at least 2 months worth of grinding if you play a little more here and there. Mm-hmm. If you're hardcore, still within a month, I would say. And it's like, ugh, especially if you're by yourself, it's harder. If you're with people, it can go a little faster.
Yeah.
The last thing I got to play was the final season, episode 3, The Walking Dead, which is now Skybound. I thought it was quite interesting because in the header when the game starts and they have the intro scene, instead of saying Telltale's The Walking Dead, it says Skybound's The Walking Dead.
Interesting.
And it's,
it is theirs.
It's no longer Telltale's The Walking Dead. It's just The Walking Dead when it comes to titles, too, now.
Huh.
So it's like literally they've been severed, and it's kind of crazy. But a lot of people felt like it was off. I think they were scrutinizing it a little more than they needed to because it honestly felt fine.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a great continuation. They still have these weird scenarios where things get blown out of proportion smallest thing.
What's life without conflict?
Like, and I hate when I say something to AJ and I want to further explain myself, but no, that is word now. And he uses it like a beacon. And I'm like, can I explain myself, please? And like, that's him now. And it had a lot of scenes that try and justify your actions a lot more than the previous two episodes did.
Oh,
it's kind of building up to what you did in the first two episodes.
Okay.
And then this episode, this season's all about how you're making AJ. What you're doing of AJ. Even though I care more about Clementine but she loves AJ. So, like, by proxy, I will want to do what makes her happy. And, like, I don't know, man. I feel like I know how this is going to end just based on how parallels work and how storytelling usually goes.
Mm-hmm.
And what she's become to AJ as she has been to Lee. But a part of me is like, please don't.
I'm torn.
Because I understand why it would happen. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't want it to be that.
Yeah.
I don't want it to just be that way and it's done. I'd be happy, too, if she just maybe makes her own way and, like, leaves him be. Or AJ leaves for some reason or something. Like, of his own accord because of who he's starting to become, depending on how you build him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I really love how fascinated it is. You're trying to basically raise a kid in a world that was without morals.
Yeah.
And without sympathy or without reason for actions. Well, reasons... logical reasons. I guess people have reasons, but and my God, and it's just like any kid where they take you by your word.
That's all they have.
And but
he's literally,
and it's like, but you don't mean what you meant kind of thing, or you'd have to further explain what you meant.
Yeah.
But they don't understand that kind of stuff. And I like how they throw in the real world stuff here and there too, or like things that people can relate to, but AJ has no idea what you're talking about kind of stuff,
because
it's not something he lived in.
Yeah.
And I'm liking where it's going. I'm trying to make him as hardened as possible because I need him to survive. That's in my mind. He needs to survive, but not be a complete asshole. He can't be a Negan. He can't be like, I forgot his name, but what could have been his father in the second, second season?
I forget his name,
The guy in the warehouse thing. But it's like, there's a lot of things that, like, I don't want him to become. And I feel like, based on what I've told him, he shouldn't. But based on how Telltale works, The Walking Dead games usually are like, you're totally following this. And then you accidentally say one thing wrong and suddenly he's a mass murderer kind of thing. I'm like, God damn it. Like, that's not what was supposed to happen.
Oh, man.
But I'm excited. I'm happy with my choices so far. There's minor things I would change if I knew, where would they go with it?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm always afraid now. It's like, make him suffer a little. And it's like, watch, he's going to die. Like, I can't even do that. Like, I'm afraid I can't do the subtlest of things. Like, I try not to spoil it, but there's a scene where you can let someone you're torturing smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'll let him smoke. And he starts coughing I wanted to be good guy, bad guy to try and get what I want, but I don't want to kill you. But he's also a complete asshole, like the person you're torturing. And he starts coughing and bleeding. And I was like, fuck, did he just cyanide himself? I was like, pissed. I thought he was killing himself for sure. And then I wasn't the only one. I was watching other people's reactions to it. And then I realized it's the situation his body's in right now that made him do that.
Yeah.
And I was so afraid. I was like, God damn it, don't make me. I just want to do something simple. And I was like, God.
I just wanted to give him a little bit of nice so he'd give me some more information. Yeah. Ouch.
Seems like we're all playing the same stuff because, I've been playing The Walking Dead season... Final season, episode three as well.
Yes, it is.
Like, the final, but not the final yet, because we're still doing chapters.
Yeah.
I've been really interested in that game, and I'm super happy that it got picked up.
Nice.
And it's continuing, because I'm loving it. Mainly, I think, because I've been playing on stream. High extreme.
Yeah.
And so I think me and Pachuco are just having a lot of fun making fun of that shit.
Yeah.
Like, AJ in particular.
I do. Like, I understand that, too. I wish, like, Bernice was with me, but she doesn't like zombies. But I wish, like, I had someone to bounce off these, like, expressions with other than chat 30 seconds later kind of thing.
Yeah. It's super funny, like, to... Just because, like, the whole AJ situation, like, you're saying you're trying to shape him, but also have morals, but you don't want to be, like, a pushover or anything, because, you know, he needs to survive. And basically, like, our, like, quote of the stream, like, is just, like, we're just like, man, AJ's freaking stupid, and we're just like, he goes from one extreme to the other, and we're just like, our favorite thing to say is, like...
Mental problem, too. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, and he's just like, you say gun, die people? Like, he keeps whipping out guns all the dang time,
I know,
and I'm like,
I made you a
kid, put that thing away. What is wrong with you?
Exactly.
Just like trying to shape this kid, like, but like, that's the thing. Like, I don't love AJ as a character, but it's funny for the content because it's been like a super fun thing to play, just watching this stupid kid grow up and with his big head.
Just like,
yeah, we're loving watching that, and then also. We talked about it earlier. I don't know if it was on, even on the podcast, but we were talking about the whole Violet. I call him Lucio every time because I make that's a joke in the stream as we call him Lucio instead of Lewis.
Yeah.
Just because he reminds me of that character. I don't know why.
He has a.
And so yeah, I picked Lewis because I'm like he's a heartthrob dude. Like I'm like, is it inappropriate because he's probably young? But I'm like, whatever.
Cindy, we went over this.
Yeah, yeah, well. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Well. No, but I'm loving watching that play out. Yeah. And yeah, I thought this episode was really interesting. I liked it. The whole whisper situation was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too into detail, but
the gameplay
was
a lot
really interesting.
Fun.
Yeah,
it wasn't just a point and click, go here and there. I mean, the collectibles
super,
still kill me.
Yeah, I'm super like interested in what's playing out next because the last scene is pretty cliffhangery.
Yeah,
at least for my situation, based on what you pick.
How it ended,
like,
I watch how other people ended it too, but it's still kind of like, where do we go from here? Like,
yeah, I actually have to check
to
out
like
how the other episode.
I thought it was a period sort
go.
Of thing.
No, like, there's one more episode.
Oh, there's another. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's
yeah,
one
yeah,
more
one
episode.
More.
I thought there was. This was the final episode.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, I would have screamed.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, I would have been like, what the fuck?
Because I thought they only. Because I know they took it on, but I thought they were instead of doing four, they were doing three episodes. I don't know.
Well, they were going to start off with the third one and try and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, they're picking up the fourth one.
I might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm super interested.
They rehired all those
next.
People that were laid off. So.
Oh, I didn't hear that. That's
not
awesome.
Everyone,
but
the ones that wanted to do
enough,
it. Yeah.
That's
And then other than that, I just I actually finished Red Dead 2.
Nice.
I've been playing that on stream like really consistently. And I was afraid of getting spoilers because there was a month like in basically December where I couldn't be streaming. I had bronchitis, so I was just constantly coughing, and so I'm like, this is not good for streaming. So I was like, I don't want to like ruin this game because I've been having a crazy amount of fun in Red Dead. Like that was just we're making fun of our horses. That's like we just make fun of stuff on stream. That's all we do. It's just like our horse, like we named it Karen because we said she likes margaritas and she's drunk and that's why she's always constantly falling and tripping over the dumbest stuff. And I'm just having the crazy amount of fun. Like I love Arthur Morgan as a character. John's great, obviously, and I'm just like I was telling you guys earlier, I was trying to Brokeback Mountain the situation the entire time. Like that was my ultimate goal, and I'm just like, God, just please let it happen. Yeah, just a super amazing story. I can't wait to see what you guys think about it once you're finished, because it's I can't get enough of that game and can't recommend it enough. It's been such a peaceful type of game when you're playing on your own and not streaming. It's just like it's just so chill and it's fun, and funny stuff even happens off stream because you just die out of nowhere because someone's horse ran you over or something.
And online,
every time I went to Valentine, I basically had a bounty on my head. Every time I'm like, I don't even know what I did this time, and I'm just running away from the cops. Yeah, it's always something funny going on in that game. It's just so
and
good.
You can't turn yourself in. They just want to kill you. Yeah. It's $10. I know. Can't
learn
let
from
me
death.
Give you $10. No.
Yeah.
Unforgiving.
So many crazy situations. Yeah. And then also I've been playing King's Quest, which is an older game, but. I just kept getting sidetracked from that game, which is really unfortunate because that game is really good and it deserves a lot of, time and all that, and I felt really bad for constantly breaking away from it, but every time I would get into it or start playing it, something would occur or a big game would come out and then I'd be like, damn it, I forgot everything I've done in that game, it's just over.
And this one is
just because there is a little bit of time jumps too, and I restarted three times, and I'm like, you know what? We're sticking to it. We're not going to start another game because Spider-Man came out when I was in the middle of it, and then Red Dead, and I was like, God. And so I'm not allowing myself to do any other game until we're finished streaming that game. And tonight we're going to be finishing up one of the episodes, which is I think it's the last episode, and then there's the epilogue, and basically I'll be finally be done with it.
Nice.
And I'm enjoying it.
That's
it's
this
fun.
One...
It's a little slow at sometimes, but I really enjoy that it game. Is. Sierra games are freaking amazing.
I used to play the original set of Sierra games in general. I love point and click adventures, but King's Quest I thought was a nice addition to the new world of this what Telltale has left behind basically as far as adventure games go. And, man, that fucking game made me cry so bad.
No. Super freaking
sweet. I'm like, can you not? It's a lot to do with my relation, how I see him as my father, how my father is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it's just so,
it
hurts.
You. Yeah.
You're just watching what you know is inevitable kind of thing. And it's you can't do much about it. And it's just sad, the things he says. And you're going along with him the entire journey. And it's just rough. But it's nice. It's a nice... I thought they did a great job at it, and you're gonna like the last episode.
Yeah,
epilogue is fun. It's. I think people should keep doing those.
Okay. Well, with that, I think it's time for our shameless plugs and closeout.
Yup.
So we'd like to thank Geek Pop Podcast. They're a podcast that gives you your weekly news for movies, games, comics. And pop culture. Sorry, I cannot read to you apparently. This is all written for me and I can't do it. All right. Watch us live on Twitch at twitch.tv/smbplay. You can also go to geek_pop. Maybe I'll do something. Probably won't, but maybe I will. And then we also have a Dead Pixel, which is spelled... all fun. I'm happy to spell it out for you. Look up Dead Pixel, find them. They're great. They're awesome. Don't forget to visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/levelrecap. That's it for now. Catch us on next month as we drop more on that gaming knowledge with your party,
Sasha,
Sydney,
there you go, and Lisa. We'll see you on the next level.
Don't worry, it's Bernice who left us.
It's Bernice's fault. Just that's it. All right. Bye.